Luke chapter 12, I'm going to just kind of lay it out pretty simple this morning. I want to speak on the topic of how to be a fool. How to be a fool. The Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there's no God. Another psalm not far after that, Psalm 53, almost is the exact same wording of the entire psalm. Psalm 53 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. I think the verse in Proverbs, verse chapter 12, verse 15, sums up the life of a fool by saying this: the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. The word fool, according to the dictionary, means this: one who is destitute of reason, one who follows his own inclinations. In the Hebrew, a lot of times it's referred to simply as this: somebody who is fat, stupid, or silly. If somebody calls you a fool, that is strong language. And as we look at the text here in just a few moments, I'd like to say that in the end of our lives, I hope it's not said that God looks down on your life and says, as we'll see in our text, you or me are a fool. And so that's what we're going to look at the topic of today, the Lord helping me. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would use this simple message that you've challenged me with. I pray that we would consider our own lives even today and ask ourselves, if at the end of today, how will God define our life? By saying we did what was wise, we acted wise, or we acted as a fool. And I think if we live day by day in the right way, our lives in the end will be summed up in the right way. And so would you challenge us today, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. A foolish man despises wisdom. A foolish man despises instruction. A foolish man hates knowledge. A foolish man grieves his mother. A foolish man flatters people who inside he truly hates. A foolish man slanders. A foolish man laughs at sin. A foolish man lets his wrath be known. A foolish man speaks foolishness. A foolish man is not ashamed of his foolishness. A foolish man does evil. A foolish man tells everything he knows. A foolish man rejects reproof. A foolish man disappoints his father. A foolish man lacks understanding. A foolish man speaks without thinking. A foolish man speaks perversely. A foolish man is repeatedly foolish. A foolish man does what is right in his own eyes. A foolish man is soon angry. A foolish man is proud. A foolish man is deceitful. A foolish man is wasteful. A foolish man receives shame. A foolish man receives correction. A foolish man falls. A foolish man is destroyed. A foolish man dies. A foolish man brings contention. A foolish man has no delight. A foolish man receives stripes. A foolish man calls for strokes. A foolish man receives no honor. A foolish man is forsaken. A foolish man is sent away. You read through the book of Proverbs, you'll see wise man, foolish man. And I trust as you look at the book of Proverbs, you're warned by all those things that I just briefly said. If you are living the life that's foolish, you will end up as a fool. My heart's desire is that you will say, by God's grace and by God's help, I will not have a life that ends up described by God as one that's a fool. Luke chapter 12 is a chapter really full of warnings. There's four warnings in the entire chapter. You might describe them differently, but verses 1 through 12, we find that there's a warning about being a hypocrite. Look at verse number 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, a lot of times that word leaven is referring to their doctrine or their teaching, but he makes it real clear here. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, when I am going door knocking, I'm aware of signs that are posted. One of them is beware of the dog. All right. For some reason, when I see that sign, I feel the inclination to put the track in the fence. The Lord is leading me, because that word beware kind of gets my attention. God makes it clear. Jesus makes it clear. He's warning his disciples First of all, he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Can I say it this way? God does not like hypocrites. Just be real. Don't be a fake. We know, we understand that we're all sinners. We all struggle with things. So don't put it on that you have no problems. That's one of the worst things you can do. If you're going to need help, guess what you do? You just come, be honest, submit yourselves and say, I need help. That's a good thing. That's how you're going to grow in your Christian life. Don't be a hypocrite. Jesus warns about that in chapter 12 in these first few verses. Then we're going to get to the following verses here in just a moment. But he gives a warning of covetousness. Look at verse number 15. Verse number 15. The Bible says this. I've got to get there. I kind of skipped over. Verse number 15, he said unto them, take heed and beware. There it is again. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We're not going to take the time to go over that right now, but beware of covetousness. You get down to verses 35 and following, he gives a warning about carelessness, and you can read those later. And then the end of the chapter, after that, he gives this idea, this warning of being ignorant. But our text today is going to be found in Luke chapter 12. We'll start reading at verse 13, and it says this, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the thing which he possesseth. So we kind of, before we get to the parable that he's going to give, we see some preliminaries, if you will. We see a wrestling, in a sense, about two brothers over the inheritance. Who's going to get it? And he says, he comes to Jesus and says, speak to my brother. We need help. We want this inheritance divided. And then we see this warning about covetousness. But I want to really focus on verses 16 and following. So let's read the text, verses 16 to 21. After this warning, Jesus gives a parable. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let me stop for a moment because the problem lies within all of us today. Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs says this, foolishness is bound, help me out, in the heart of a child. That means from the day that you were born, you had this thing wrapped up inside of you called foolishness. Therefore, the responsibility of parents is to take part two and put it into practice. But the rod of correction shall what? Drive it far from him. Now, I'm amazed at some of the foolishness that goes on in our world today. Sometimes I just watch people, I'm like, what are they wearing? And I like to go to the mall, not to shop. My kids like to shop. I like to just watch people. Why do kids color their hair different colors? One of my TNT boys, I'm not gossiping about you, Greg, all right? But yesterday he showed up at church and his hair was just completely red. I'm just looking at him. Like I'm not supposed to say anything like, you know, that looks normal. That's just the way it is. But you know, then I was at a football game Friday night and there's adults walking around with purple, green. It's like, all right, cotton candy day. You just stuck your head in the cotton candy thing. And what's the flavor of the day? And then you just see people and some of the stuff they wear, you think, what is wrong? I'll tell you what happened is the rod of correction never drove the foolishness out of them. Because there are things my kids do when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And I'm like, we didn't teach that at family devotions. But they just do foolish things. And my hope and my prayer is that they don't continue to do foolish things, but that rod of correction says, no, that's not wise. That's not wise. That's not wise. But can I say that we have different people, even us today, maybe we're still doing foolish things. It needs to be driven out of us. So the problem is that there's foolishness bound within our hearts. But we look at this man, I call this the positives for this individual. Number one, he was prosperous. I think all of us here would desire to be prosperous. The Bible says the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Can I remind you, sometimes we say if somebody's rich, we have this mindset that they're wrong. That's not true because the Bible makes it clear God's rich. Abram was rich. Jacob was rich. All right, so forth. It's not sin to be rich, but the Bible says this, they that will be rich, the love of money is the root of all evil. So there's a mindset that if we're seeking those things, if we're trying to be rich, there's a problem. But this man was prosperous. Number two, he was diligent. A lot of times when you hear this text, you automatically hear negative about this man. But I'm trying to give you the positive side of things. He was blessed, or he was prosperous. He was diligent. Can I say this? As Christians, we ought to be the most diligent people at the workplace. Let me say it again. As Christians, we ought to be the most diligent people at the workplace. They ought to look at us and say, something is different about them. They are hard workers. They're not cheating the business. They're not cheating the boss. When there's 8 hours required, they put 8.5 hours in. You know why? Because the Bible makes it clear we ought to be diligent. I see a man here that the Bible says God blessed. His ground brought forth plentifully, which means it seems to indicate he was a worker. That's a positive thing. Let's continue on. He was prosperous. He was diligent. He was industrious. He was a planner. Now, I like to be around people that have plans and purpose. Let me encourage you. If you're here just to make it through the year, you're missing out. Why are you here? You know what? That's the year you're going to have. Can I encourage you? Get a vision for something. You get on the bus route. Don't just like, I'm here. Wow, there's kids everywhere. Cool. There's this helicopter thing that can drop candy. Cool. I was able to steal some kids from, or some candy from the kids. That was awesome. I enjoyed my day. But get a vision. Find 5 kids and say, I'm going to make a difference in her life this year. Get out. There's plenty of roads around here. You can just go door knocking and tell people about Jesus. Get a vision. This man, in a positive sense, I'd say he had a vision. He had a great crop. He says, man, what am I going to do? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear my barns down. I'm going to build greater. So I see here positive things. I'm all for being blessed, being diligent, being a planner. But we come to what I call a startling point in this story. The next verse, verse number 20. These two words change the tenor of the whole story. Look at verse number 20. What's the two words there? But God. Now, last night as I was going over this, and I pulled up those two words on my study helps, and there's 44 times in the scriptures that that phrase or those two words are together, and almost every time you see the tenor of the story change. For instance, remember when Abram went down to Abimelech and kind of, in a sense, passed his wife off to Abimelech? He lied. And in his mind, he was protecting himself. Abimelech had no idea what he was doing. But in verse number 20 of Genesis 20, it says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night. Abimelech had intentions. Abram thought, I'm saving myself. But God stepped in. How about Joseph? You remember the story as his brothers were wondering, our dad's dead. What's he going to do? This is what Joseph says. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. The psalmist says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart. Are you with me? Follow these two words just change the whole tenor. I love these verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God. I'm so thankful that those two words are there. Here we are. You know, I sit back and think, you know, I think I would try to help people. I don't know if I'd really die for a lost person. I don't know if I would die for a righteous man, but God steps in. He says, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians 2, I love this text as well. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Wow. So here we have this man. He had a good crop. It was plentiful. He had diligence. He had plans. But God steps in. And it changes the nature of this. But the Bible says in verse number 20, "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now, if I came in this morning and just looked down at Andrew Bottrell and said, "You know what, you're a fool," that might catch his attention. But ultimately, who am I? And no disrespect to Pastor Armacost, but if he said Andrew Bottrell's a fool, it might take you off guard. You might say, "Whoa, that's strong language." But in the end, ultimately, does that really matter? But that's not who we're talking about this morning. We're talking about God stepping in. And listen, you and I are going to stand before not a pastor, not a parent, not somebody of significance. We're going to stand before God, and ultimately it matters what he says. And this man, in a sense, is standing before God, and God looks down and says, "You are a fool." So let me give you three quick things why I believe God called him a fool. Number one, the reason he was called a fool is this man focused his attention on living for today. Now, again, I mentioned before, I'm all for planning. But I tell you what, this may be the only day that you have to live. And live it as if God's in mind. We just do this and we just do this. We make this decision. We spend this. And sometimes we do it just as if today is the only day that we have to live. And I'm trying not to go back and forth on this, but I say this. We do have tomorrow that somebody's going to be affected by our lives. What I do today will affect somebody's life tomorrow. And this man really only focused on today. Man, we had a good crop. All right. I'm just going to worry about the moment. I'm going to worry about only today. Listen, if you're only worried about today, you're going to be comfortable doing foolish things. This man focuses attention on living for today. Number two, this man focuses attention on living for himself. Can I encourage you? Stay out of selfish mode. I find that when I find myself in the pit of despair, the swamp of sympathy, the you name it, most of the times it's because I'm only thinking about myself. You know, there's always somebody going through tougher stuff than you, Thomas. Did you know that? But what happens, we say, "Hey, I'm the only one." Elijah was ready to end it all because he focused his attention on who? Himself. And it's interesting what this man says. Look again in our text. Verse number 17. And he thought within himself. And here we go. Here's the questions. What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." His whole focus was on himself. Sounds a little bit like the devil, doesn't it? Isaiah chapter 14. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend." You get it? When we start to live about I, we are associating ourselves with the enemy of Almighty God. That's a selfish way to live. Let me help you. When you start to get a little selfish, when CJ's in his little pit, The best thing you could do is get up and go serve somebody else. Go witness to somebody. You say, but man, my schedule's so packed and I'm so tired and I'm so this. And you will get tired and you will get frustrated and you will get discouraged over the course of the year. Join the club. And you don't have time to do this. I'll tell you what. What will get you out of sympathy swamp will be get up and say, how can I help you? Can I pray with you? Can I encourage you? Let's go door knocking. Let's write a thank you. Let's go help. Just start serving. And what you do is you put yourself in the lifeline of what Jesus Christ did. You don't see Him discouraged. You know why? Because everywhere He went, the Bible says, He went about doing good. There was a blind man, He helped him. There was a leper, He helped him. And you know what? He was okay with His schedule getting interrupted. Ugh, that hurts right there. Because I'm a schedule guy. I'm a planner. Don't mess with my schedule. You know why? I think it's important to plan. I think it's important to work. But you leave Jesus out of it, God says you're going to be a fool. He was focused on living for today. He was focused on living for himself. And quickly and lastly, he was focused on living a life of comfort. Now, I got to stop here for a minute because I like comfort. I like going to hotels that are nice. I don't want to go to the Super 4. I don't really want to go to the Super 8, to be honest with you. Motel 6, absolutely not. I want to go to the Super 48. but you go in, you look, my wife has her routine, like pull the sheet, pull the blankets back. All right, I think we're safe. It's just everything's got to be just so. But we got to be careful that our focus and our attention is not about being comfortable. We love being in our comfort zone. It's uncomfortable to get up in front of kids and tell that story for the first time. I don't know what your comfort zone is. I don't know what your comfort zone is not. That's not really my business. But I'm saying we'd rather, instead of going out on helicopter candy drop day and being out there a little extra time, we'd rather be in the dorm taking our little nap. Hello? Right, Gideon? All right, he's with me. But let's be careful that our focus is not about being comfortable ourselves and we miss out on helping other people. That's what Fairhaven Baptist Church and college is about, is serve, serve, serve. If I remember, you signed up because you're interested in being in full-time Christian comfort? Help me out. And aren't you glad, stay with me, aren't you glad that somebody has over the years served you? I sure am. I'm so glad that somebody went out on a Saturday or on a Thursday and while others might have been taking naps, they knocked on the Ramos household. I don't know the people, but I'm sure glad they did it. It's changed our world. So I say all that to say that night came pretty sudden for this man. He had plans. He had vision. He had abundance, but I wonder who got those barns. Did they ever get built? All that vision, all that planning he had, that night it came to an end. It was very sudden, was it not? And God has a way of changing our schedules. Be careful that we're not living our lives for today, just for the moment. Living our lives for ourselves and living our lives based on how much comfort we're going to get. I tell you what, teens, this will change how your home is. Because right now, a lot of our focus is, how can my parents serve me? You're missing out on a good home. But if you go home and say, Mom and Dad, it's time for me to serve you, watch the dynamic of your home change. Because service, there's something special about it. My TNT crew, we had a pretty long day on Saturday, right? But it was a good day, wasn't it, Bareilles? Wasn't it a good day? Bareilles trusted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior on Saturday up at the youth rally. I hope I'm not embarrassing her, but she was telling people anyways. But you know what? It was a long day. It was uncomfortable. But you know what? It was worth it at the end of the day to know that someone's on their way to heaven. You know, the bus was a little warm yesterday. I know when the second wave pulled into Skate World, they're like, can we get the kids off? It's hot on the bus. I'm like, no, I want you to sweat. But some kids heard the gospel for the very first time yesterday. And watch me, they may never come back to church again. So while it may be a little uncomfortable, don't sit back and say, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Because that night God said, you know what, if that's the way you're going to live, your life's over. But God. So here's my challenge. As you progress into this year, be diligent, yes. Ask God for blessings, yes. Plan, yes. But don't leave God out of the picture. I'm okay with guys coming for 1 year. I'm good. Move on. But that next step, you better make sure God's in the picture. Because you can plan, you can set it all up. But if God's not in the picture, He's going to look down and say, thou fool. You're here today, and you might be just living your day-to-day life without God. You might have skipped your morning devotions. You know, I got this. I got it figured out. That's dangerous territory, because you make a foolish decision today, you'll make a foolish decision tomorrow, and you'll continue to make foolish decisions. Guilty! I've tried to parent on my own, and guess what? It leads to foolish decisions that I've made. It doesn't go away. Keep God in the center of your day. Keep God in the center of your life. He can look down and say, that's one of my wise ones. There's enough foolishness going on. Let's live as if we're going to please God. Let's not be a fool. Let's pray. Lord.